Chicago sports conversation is now.
Rink wide pass now to Schmaltz over the Ranger line down the right wing. Put it in front of Anisimov. Should he scores? A hat trick for Artem Anisimov.
The ball game is over. The home season is over. Six in a row for the Northwestern Wildcats.
The beat.
I mean, I'm not being evasive, but I kind of am. I'm not the doctor here. All right, yeah, I wish I could be, but well, they won't let me do that.
On 720 WGN.
That's awesome. We love you, John Fox. I don't care what I've said about you, what Dan Hampton said about you, what Ed Obradovich has said about you, what Glenn Kozlowski said about you, what Adam Hoge said about you, or what you, Harry Tynowitz, have said about John Fox. That was awesome. I could be evasive, but I'm not, but I could, but I'm not, but I won't, but you are. Hi.
He's crazy like a fox, that John Fox.
That's the guy. Bears and Lions tomorrow.
Bears.
Bears. This is a. There's a lot going on right now. We've got a 90-minute show. We've got the Blackhawks and the Penguins coming up pregame at 5:30 with Chris Bowden, who's going to stop by and say hello to us. Breaking news: the Blackhawks are going to host the Boston Bruins in the 2019 Winter Classic at Notre Dame, which is the Blackhawks' fourth Winter Classic, their sixth outdoor game against the Bruins. Congratulations to our old friend, by the way, Judd Surratt, who was at the first Winter Classic at Wrigley Field. Now he gets to call one at Notre Dame Stadium against the team that he grew up rooting for. Pretty cool for him. But that's
Judd's awesome, and Stan Bowman, of course, Notre Dame grad. Congrats to Stan for making this happen.
So very cool. The Hawks and the Bruins coming up in 2019. Now we have to get to the major news of the day, and as you know,
there's a lot going on. Is it Bears related?
It's not Bears related.
Well, it's got to be the Bulls. Something happened. Big Bulls win.
Huge win last night, and there was drama at the United Center. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes.
It's Blackhawks story. Blackhawks and the Penguins. Stanley Cup preview.
That's huge, but we already mentioned it.
Arrieta signed.
Arrieta has not signed.
Sox made another deal.
Not the White Sox. And it's sort of Northwestern related. Huge win for the Cats. Six in a row. Beat the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Now 8-3.
That's awesome.
Just crushing teams. But, all right, if you were not paying close attention, there was an incident on the sideline at Ryan Field. And we don't know who this gentleman is. He might be a Minnesota Golden Gopher assistant. He might be a phone technician for the Minnesota Golden Gophers, but it was late in the game. The Gophers were getting their rear ends kicked at Ryan Field, and there he was on the sideline eating ice cream. The dude was mowing. What would you call that bar there, Harry? Is that
Now you're in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I mean, I'm holding up my computer so Harry can see the picture of this dude just crushing an ice cream bar.
Who's in a Minnesota, he's in a team jacket and hat talking to a Minnesota Golden Gopher player.
Right, now, you know, the other Golden Gophers, the players, they themselves, they're not allowed to eat ice cream.
That's not a good humor. That might be like a Dove bar.
It looks a little Dove bar-ish, but it's also like, I almost sort of feel like, is it a Dilly bar? Or could it be a Dilly bar?
It could be a Dilly bar from Dairy Queen.
I mean, I love ice cream.
I love ice cream.
But you get ice cream after you've accomplished something, after you've done your homework, after you've had your workout, after you get your rear end kicked by Northwestern. This dude's mowing ice cream in the middle of the game.
Well, he's outdoors.
Right.
I went and got ice cream the other day and brought it home. I could see, like, if you were, you know, going to get a shake and have it in your car, in your nice heated car, you could get it. But this man, what country is this guy from? He must be from Greenland.
Well, and so we're looking for somebody who might know the ice cream man. 312-981-7200. And also, a very simple question for you. I mean, I'm looking out the window right now. We got the parade coming down Michigan Avenue. Festival of Lights. I mean, there's a zillion people out there, but they're all wearing their ski hats, right?
Yes.
Kids got scarves and gloves and hats. I don't see anybody having ice cream out there. I mean, can you actually, is it allowed, even allowed to have ice cream outside in the cold right now today? I mean, there should be some rule about, you know, acceptable levels of ice cream eating outside.
And let me take you the other way. Should you be eating anything on the sideline?
Well, that's, of course, right.
Right. I'm going back to a guy named Ezra Johnson, Green Bay Packers, who got fined because in a preseason game, he was eating a hot dog. Eating a hot dog on the sideline. He was a starter who had come out of the game, and he was eating a hot dog on the sideline.
Didn't former Bull Quentin Daly, RIP, didn't he like order a sugar rope at the end of the bench at Chicago Stadium and a dog? Maybe Orlando Woolridge partook as well?
He might have. Q had some serious issues.
Right, you can't eat during the game. You could have an orange.
Right, you know, if you're like a Blackhawk healthy scratch and you're upstairs, you could eat. A lot of the Hawks will have something between periods. They'll eat like a piece of fruit, or they'll eat something.
I mean, this is a flat out travesty that an older gentleman. He looks at least in his 50s, perhaps. You know,
he's got a little Wilford Brimley in him.
He's got a little bit of a belly there too. That's true. And right, he could be well in his 60s.
He's someone's grandpa.
He's got impressionable youth around him who are trying to, you know, Minnesota was trying to win their sixth game today, become bowl eligible. Their season was on the line. They got to go to Wisconsin next week.
Good luck.
Right. This was their chance. And now it didn't happen. And he's just sitting there, la-di-da, having ice cream.
And he's talking to the player. What's he saying? Well, what you got to do when you come, when they get in that formation, when Jackson comes up a hole, you got to go wrong.
I mean, what type of decision making is that for PJ Fleck and company? This is part of the reason why Minnesota lost 39-0.
And PJ Fleck might be the most in shape coach in the entire. Don't get mad at me, Fitz. PJ Fleck is in pretty good physical condition.
He is. I mean, I'm searching on Twitter, Harry.
Uh-huh.
And you, the Minnesota assistant ice cream man, and there's just a lot of theories going on who this fellow is. I don't want to get anybody fired. That's the last thing. And this is
it's not you. He was on TV. I mean, they showed it on television. That's where we got it from.
Right. And it's all over the old internet, the World Wide Web here. There's this thing called Twitter, by the way. You can follow me on Twitter at the Carm. Harry is at Hey Tweet Harry. Like David Aldridge is tweeting, according to staff in Minnesota, assistant coach. Oh, that's not him. I'm sorry. That's a basketball. I was like, David Aldridge is in on this too.
Yeah, I was going to say. This guy.
This is big. There are some tweets saying that it wasn't actually an assistant coach, that it was a phone tech. So I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay, so you're a phone tech. Are you allowed to be eating on the sideline during a game? Even less reason.
Right.
I mean, if you're PJ Fleck, you're the head coach, you can do whatever you want to do, but he's not going to eat during a game. The players certainly can't eat.
I mean, if I'm a Golden Gopher graduate, I mean, I wouldn't mind hearing from some Golden Gophers out there. It's one thing to get smoked by Northwestern, and not score after you put up 50 points against Nebraska, by the way, and just come into Ryan Field and lay an egg when you're trying to get to bowl eligibility. But to have a guy eating ice cream on the sideline, Harry, I don't know.
This is
something.
You know, no. I like everybody, but I mean, there are phone techs that would probably say, you know what, I shouldn't eat the Gatorade, it's for the players. This guy, okay, ice cream doesn't keep. It's not like he had Ron Santo used to have to keep candy bars, and he would eat them because of his physical condition.
Right.
Okay? It's not like the guy had this ice cream bar on him, you know, when the game kicked off. This guy had to go get an ice cream bar.
Hold on, we got breaking news here, Harry. George just called. He says he's got intel on the ice cream, man.
All right, George.
This could be big. George,
code name for George?
I don't know. It says George. Maybe he's not a George. George, whoever you are, welcome to WGN.
That was quite the buildup. My intel is no more than you guys, so I'm sorry. I'm not going to drop any truth bombs here. I just have a quick comment to make about the guy. I mean, I think his name was Dan Lehm, is what they said. He monitors the sideline headsets more than the phone. He listens to make sure the headsets are operating properly. My only comment to make about the guy is that it's not like he's a coach. You know, he's not actively putting a defense together in the clutch and then running over to the Colonial kitchen sink. He's just chewing on an ice cream bar. Right? In that kind of job where you're just listening and making sure things are transmitting, I don't see a problem with letting a guy eating a dilly bar on the sideline. I really don't see an issue with it. You know, I'm
all for one.
Just me.
All for one. One for all, George. Like they're all in it together. No, none of that's going on.
Dilly dilly. Dilly dilly.
Well, you know, I think it depends on the job. Head coach, dilly bar, losing by 30 points, maybe that's a problem. You know, but this guy's a phone tech. He probably sits there all day, listens to the headsets. I mean, that's got to be the most boring job That's got to be the most boring sideline job.
Let me ask you this, George. You know, what's your occupation, George? What do you do to make the old dollar?
I'm a mechanic technician.
Okay, so if you had a guy in your shop that doesn't work in the technical side, but he's working the register, and he just comes in there as you're in the midst of really getting
shocks and plugs.
Yeah, and then he just comes and sits right down next to you with everything's out, and he starts mowing ice cream. Would you like that?
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I'd probably want to throat punch him.
See? I'm telling you, George.
George, you can't help but point this out. You didn't say punch him. You said throat punch him. There's a little violence going on inside of you, George. Anything you want to talk about?
No, the only reason is because we have somebody like that.
Mm. Oh.
And he waltzes out of the front office to hand us invoices. And this guy doesn't have a dilly bar. This guy has full-on, Chinese dinners on dinner plates in front of him while we're trying to pull apart ball joints. So it's a little frustrating sometimes.
So you're, trying to save an engine, and this guy is, working on a number three.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much. I feel for you. All right, you changed my mind.
All right.
All right,
down
George.
With ice cream.
We are mind changers.
Thank you, George. Have a great Saturday. See, there you go. That's our guy, George. He's on the case, Harry.
Now, this is, okay, a couple things here. Number one is I want some ice cream. I feel the need for some ice cream. Krista offered me some pie, but it was like eggnog pie or Butterfinger. And she's a great baker. She always makes great stuff. But, eggnog pie, can't do it. Butterfinger pie, can't do it.
She's got eggnog is on the side, and the pie is like something else.
It's Butterfinger. It's peanut butter. I can't do peanut butter.
Oh, okay.
I don't like peanut butter.
Who doesn't like peanut butter?
Well,
I can't do a show with somebody who doesn't.
Oh,
wow. No peanut butter? No PB&J?
This is 2017.
No Reese's peanut butter cups?
No. And you know how much I love chocolate.
That's the one seed of all candy bars, Harry.
Oh, I disagree. Circle gets the square.
And what would you go with?
Well, first of all, not a candy bar, but M&M's would be the number one candy choice. And then Nestle's Crunch is a bar that I would take over to that. I would take a Special Dark, Hershey's Special Dark. So good.
I mean, I do like a Special Dark, but hold on, I got to rewind back. Are you saying that the standard M&M without the peanut is the better M&M?
Of course. Oh. You do whatever you want to. See, I don't live in a world where I can't work with a guy that doesn't like peanut butter. I am not a peanut butter guy. I would eat cashews plain, but I hate them in Chinese food.
I mean, brother Bruce Carman, my outstanding brother.
Yes.
Number one seed at the University of Chicago.
Had dinner with him at Mother Hubbard's.
Right. Yes, you absolutely. No, that was David Carman.
Well, it was David Carman.
Yes.
Okay,
Bruce, who was not there, he's allergic to peanut butter. Uh-huh. So, you guys have something in common. He's a great man. So.
But as a rule, kids, if we can teach you one thing today, always carry a candy bar on you.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. All right, we have Britain. Harry just busted out the Three Musketeers out of his pocket, out of his Buffalo Bills hooded T-shirt pocket, something that he's wearing, just for everybody's, just so you know what Harry looks like today. All right, coming back here, there was major drama at the United Center last night. Huge drama. We got to hit that one, too.
You're not talking about on the floor.
Nope.
You're not talking about Holiday and Dunn and Valentine taking the Bulls to victory and Kemba Walker missing a last-second shot?
No, but we are going to hear from Kemba coming on back here, though.
Cool.
He's in the mix of this conversation. But first, we have to address what happened with Fred Hoiberg and company after the ball game. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's best at 10 p.m. Then you can stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. The Beat with you till 5:30 on 720 WGN.
I watched Kemba when he was at UConn. When he was a freshman, all he did was go downhill. All he did was kept going in the basket. And he understood, in college that you kind of, do that each and every play because it's called charges. And as you can see, he kept working on his game. He won a championship at UConn, and then he only brought it over to the NBA. So, much credit to him.
That was Chicago Bull Chris Dunn. Harry, Chris Dunn had quite a ball game last night, his best as a Bull. Putting up 22 and playing great defense, even though Kemba Walker had 47 points, but he wasn't guarding it for most of the game.
No, Kemba Walker's a special player. He put UConn on his back, and he won a national championship. But I loved what Chris Dunn did last night. Holiday was terrific, and, he just had a baby, so it's great to see that he's doing so well. And Valentine, Denzel Valentine was spectacular.
Yeah, you went at me on Twitter last night. You brought up, what did I say, that Denzel was not an NBA player. You Harry Tynowitz.
And Sam Smith said that too.
Oh, I know. Listen, a lot of people said, and you're in the Denzel Valentine club. It was a big night for you.
Yes, it was a big, big night. He's going to be a special player. That little
okay, settle down.
Denzel Valentine is going to contribute.
Okay, you just went from special player to contribute.
Okay. Thank you for settling me down.
You settled down incredibly well.
Denzel made, was that like a half hook in the lane in the final minute there? He made that big shot.
You know, it was interesting. I got out there super early yesterday because I was getting some interviews. We're going to play a quick one with Kemba Walker, 2 minutes with Kemba in a second here. And he was working on that shot. The Bulls have, it's a very cool, the Bulls have one of their training staff, ball boys. I'm not exactly sure what his role is, but he's a one armed guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's out there, you know, feeding players and putting him through drills, and he's bumping them hard. So this guy is working out Denzel before the game, and Valentine is working on bumping off him and then shooting this little floater, and then he used it in the game. I love
Denzel Valentine, Kirk Heinrich, you know what they have in common? Sons of coaches. I love it when you get the son of a coach on a team.
You know, Greg McDermott, who used to coach Doug McDermott, He was in town this week as Creighton beat Northwestern. That was a terrible loss for the Cats.
Awful.
Although the Cats came back today, beat LaSalle. They have their the final in the tip-off tournament, whatever they're
in. Nice job, Andy Mazur, filling in for Dave Ennett. And Dave and Ted were doing the Wildcat football game.
Excellent job by the Maze Crays. And tomorrow at 4:15 pregame, 4:30, it's the final of that tournament against Texas Tech right here on 720 WGN. Hampton OB with Kaz is going to be shortened tomorrow from 3 until 14. Programming note for you. Rewinding all the way back, I don't know how we got there. But back to the Bulls yesterday,
it was an exciting game.
It was a great game.
I was really into it.
It was a great game. Chris Dunn was 10 for 16 at 22. He had 7 assists. He had 5 rebounds. And Kemba had 47. But your guy, Denzel.
Yeah, look at that line.
18 points.
Assists.
6 assists.
5 boards.
5 boards. Now, I'm going to play a Kemba here. Now, Kemba Walker, all-star guard, great guy, and I had heard a rumor that a friend of mine, who I'll mention in this the 2 minutes with Kemba interview, that Kemba, when he was young, was not a good shooter.
What?
Right? You wouldn't believe that. So I was like, this can't be true. This is a friend of mine telling me this, and he had supposedly had worked Kemba out, so I didn't really believe it. So I'm like, I am going to hunt Kemba down, and I'm going to find out if this is true, if my guy is lying to me. Now, he doesn't really lie, but I had to talk
to him. But that's you, man. You go to every Bulls game. You work both locker rooms. You find out. You don't go for that secondhand, story. You go right up to the guy and say, Kemba, tell me the truth.
I want to talk to the guy. So here was Kemba.
All right, Kemba Walker, first off, I want to give you props. You just signed every jersey, every anything that they all wanted you to sign. Do you always do that whatever city you're in?
I do. My kids look up to me. I want to try to make their day as much as possible. I don't want to blow them off. I just want to try my best to, sign as many autographs as I could in the time I have, to get ready for my game.
Do you give your parents credit on that? Where'd you learn to sort of give back like that? Any mentor?
Of course, my parents. Those are my role models, so definitely my parents. Yeah.
So I was talking to a guy who took you through a couple workouts named Steve Gruthius, who I used to do play-by-play, and he was a coach there. Mm-hmm. And he said that he asked me how many shots you think Kemba made going around the perimeter out of 50. And I guessed, 45. He said he only made 10. And I'm like, so Kemba wasn't a pure shooter? And he's like, he wasn't. You learned this. Is all that true?
It's true. I wasn't a great shooter. I wasn't a consistent shooter. I had to, kind of put in the work, to become the shooter and player I am. And, just had to put in the work.
But that's big time. Like, guys normally don't transform to that level where, you're one of the best shooters in the NBA now. That's you had to have a lot of confidence, and that had to have been a lot of time on the court.
More so a lot of time on the court. A lot of, preparation. It was a lot of down days as well. So, just putting in the work, man. That's what it's all about in this league. It's about guys, working to become better players, and that's what I do. I go hard every day, try to become a better player each and every day, each and every year. So that's what I do.
Did you change your form?
Barely, not really. Just
a few adjustments and tweaks, but not really.
He also said that he's never seen anybody with your bounce, that you got pogo sticks in the legs.
Not no more. Maybe back in the day, but nah, them days is over.
Have you? I ask everybody on your team, maybe it's just because I grew up in Chicago and whatnot. Have you played Mike one-on-one?
No, never played one-on-one. Never got the chance to. Probably never will.
Why is he dodging?
No, he's not. I mean, he's a busy man.
So there you go. A little 2 minutes with Kevin. Anything is possible, Harry. You can transform yourself into anything if you put the time in, on the court, in the boardroom, at home. Anything's possible.
That's great, because, you know, that wasn't my attitude up till now. But if you're telling me it's possible, then I believe.
Kemba's leading the way, man. Guy's playing in All-Star games. Hey, okay, well, we'll pay off the whole controversy at the United Center after the 4:30 news.
Something happened after the game.
Yes.
Behind the scenes. Oh, I love it when you bring the listeners in behind the scenes.
We'll do it after the 4:30 news. We do have to take a quick 2 minute timeout, and then we'll get you your news. 720 WGN. That sound pause was my fault, for the record. A couple scores before we get into the United Center last night. Ohio State leading Illinois 38-0. That's at the half. Purdue, who Northwestern beat last week, Purdue trying to get to bowl eligibility. They got four wins, 21-9 over Iowa in the third quarter. Penn State's rolling on Nebraska, 35-10. Michigan State, 14-0 on Maryland. And then finals earlier today, Wisconsin's 11-0, 24-10, beating Michigan.
Way to go, Bucky Badger.
One more game for the Badgers in there, as they're going to roll Minnesota next week, who the Cats crushed today, 39-0. Minnesota scored 50 points against Nebraska last week. They got shut out by Northwestern. Great job, Pat Fitzgerald and company. And Indiana, 41, Rutgers nothing. That was the biggest shutout for the Hoosiers since they beat Northwestern back in the early 90s, 42-0.
Indiana will go bowling now. If I may, one high school score report. The championship, you know, we're getting ready for the state championship. Well, today in the 8A IHSA football semifinals, Loyola Ramblers, John Holosek's club from Wilmette, knock off Edwardsville, a very good Edwardsville club, 17-10. They will meet the winner of Maine South, Lincoln Way East. That game kicks off at 6. They'll meet in DeKalb. I believe you know the stadium I refer to, Carm.
That would be Husky Stadium.
Next weekend, it'll be Loyola against Maine South. And, that, of course, that's Jim Muno went there. And Avila, the backup quarterback at NU.
Uh-huh.
He's a Maine South guy. So congrats to Loyola. You gave 38-0 Ohio State over Illinois?
At the half.
Lovey Smith's a name. John Holosek is a football coach. He can relate. He can relate to the kids.
Wow.
Illinois should hire Holosek. I've been on this for 10 years. Hire Holosek, and he will recruit to Illinois.
Illinois is playing a lot of freshmen, the most in the Big Ten, so there is that. I guess they're building for the future, and it's only year two for Lovey.
Yeah.
But to go winless?
They haven't won since last year.
I mean, Northwestern still has to beat them next week, but that's...
I'm going on a limb to say they will.
And I should also mention that the U, your number three team in the country, they were trailing Virginia
14-0.
Yeah, 14-0 early. They came back and won 44-28, so they'll keep their spot in the college football playoff.
Think there's any noise in the Payton household tonight?
Yeah, it's Jared Payton's a happy man with the U and the turnover chain.
Turnover chain,
baby. I love the turnover chain. Okay, so last night, Bulls beat the Charlotte Hornets 123-120.
Thrilling game. Everybody's got to be in a great mood.
Everyone's in a great mood. The media is waiting in the press room, which is also a cafeteria, and we're in the corner watching Oklahoma City and the Spurs, because it was a three-point game, and Carmelo Anthony had just shot a three after some crazy plays by Russell Westbrook. We thought it was tied, but Melo's toe was on the line, so everybody's watching the replay, And so Fred walks in to do his post game, and he sees all the media in the corner. And clearly, none of the media wants to talk to Fred Hoiberg, because he's not interesting, and nice guy, and who cares about the Bulls and the Hornets?
Don't say it like that.
Well, it's true. And he knows it, too. He's like, y'all want to do it right here? And we're like, we just sort of looked at him like, that's not right. You got to go to the table. And so then he starts watching the game. So we literally, there's like a three-minute pause, which is a long time for a head coach to be standing there watching another game. I've never seen that happen before.
He's such a good guy.
He really is. So then we go over, and his press conference is going on. And so a couple of questions get asked, and then we hear... the phone ringer is going off, and it can't get no satisfaction.
Was it your phone?
It was not my phone, but I was like, wow, this is great. Hoiberg's getting interrupted by the Stones, and it was, you know, longtime reporter, one of the best in the business, David Schuster's phone had gone off in the back, and Hoiberg stopped the press conference. He's like, interesting ringtone there, David. I thought it was great.
Funny.
You had Hoiberg stopping to watch Thunder Spurs, and then we had the ringtone, and it's just like, this is what the Bulls are now. They're a 3-10 basketball team. They're going out west. They're probably going to lose every single game. Chris Dunn just had a great night. It's the middle of the rebuild.
They'll beat the Lakers.
Bobby Portis is punching Nikola in the face. Like, this is not Michael Scottie and the Bulls anymore. This is what it is. So I put it on Twitter, and that I, you know, this was a great post game.
What was your Twitter post?
My Twitter post specifically was, what did I say?
At the Carm.
I said, at the Carm. I said, fascinating Hoiberg presser, offered to do it by TV so press could watch OKC. And then I said, at Shoemouse, ringer went off, Hoiberg liked, can't get no satisfaction.
That's funny.
And then he got mad at me.
Hoiberg got mad at you?
No, Hoiberg didn't get mad at me. Schumaus did. He said, and now we know why you came here tonight, since you didn't seem to do anything else. Just crushed me. And I'm like, hold on a second. I was just talking to Kemba Walker. I was just talking to my guy, Chris Dunn, in the locker room. Come on, man. I was. Let's have some fun here.
Okay.
I was attacked, Harry.
Schuster's way cool, okay?
He's the best.
I've known him for a long time. I've worked with him for a long time. He's a really good, really good guy, really good reporter. And he obviously... He was just messing with you, right?
I guess. I don't know. But I just thought that I don't think there will be a better.
That was a little shot he ran. Yours is like a fun thing.
I felt hurt. I did.
You didn't say like Schuster made a mistake. He asked him how Dickie Simpkins was doing.
No, I thought he did a great job.
Right. It was funny. And if you didn't like him, if you didn't hold him in high regard, you wouldn't have put him in your tweet.
I wouldn't.
You're promoting him.
I wouldn't. Like, there's certain people that I wouldn't put in my tweet.
Also, if it was like, it's not an embarrassing tweet. It's cool that he's got the Stones. If it were Madonna or Carly Rae Jepsen, what if Schuster's ringtone were Call Me Maybe?
312-981-7200. What is the coolest ringtone that you can have? What do you got rolling out there? I want to know what people got.
Now I want to go the other way. I want to go Oppo. Who's got the most embarrassing ringtone? Do you have a friend that has like a really embarrassing ringtone that every time it goes off, you like shake your head?
I mean, I used to have classical music on my phone, and I didn't know how to change it. So whenever that thing would go off, you know, I'd get some Bach or concerto or whatever it was. People are like, is that your ringtone? Yes, that's my ringtone. I'm not technologically advanced at all. In fact, I'm technologically pathetic. That's my ringtone.
That's why you like being with me, because I make you seem technologically savvy.
You are awful. That's true.
I'm just... Plain,
I mean, the whole day today, you'd be like, I can't get my phone to turn on. You have to like go outside to tweet. You got all sorts of weird things going on over there.
I won't waste the people's time with this, but there's reasons for all that. And apparently I got like a whole, I got like an upgrade I didn't even know about.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Congratulations.
That's why my phone wasn't working. I plugged it into the computer and it charged instantaneously.
Do you do the update when they offer you the update?
I usually ask my kids, should I do this? Should I do this? Because they're born with computers. Reggie came out of the womb with a computer. He was playing a video game when he came out of the womb.
It's true. Reggie is advanced. Very advanced, Reggie. The guy's a stud. So that was the UC last night, Harry. That's what went down. All right. We do have more drama in the sports world. It's very important.
As big as Schuster going after you on Twitter?
It might be even bigger. Could be slightly bigger.
And Dave, you're awesome.
So here, let's take a quick time out. We're also going to talk to Chris Bowden, little Blackhawks, as the Hawks and the Penguins. Huge game tonight. 3 cups for the Penguins, 3 cups for the Hawks. 5:30 pregame. We haven't talked to Chris since he got the gig, so we'll do a quick little Blackhawks preview. Plus, the Hawks have the the Winter Classic in 2019.
Yeah. And then Hoagie at a little after 5.
And then we'll talk football with Adam Hoge right after 5. All right, 720 WGN.
Taves racing away with a puck over the Penguin line to the right circle. Put it in front. Saad, he scores! Hat trick for Brandon Saad against the team in the town he grew up in. Brandon Saad off of a perfect feed from Jonathan Taves deflects it in behind Murray. And the Hawks now lead the Penguins 9-1.
That was opening night. You knew right then the Blackhawks were going to win every single game, and then it sort of hasn't happened that way, but that's okay. 9-8-2, but coming up a big win, the Rangers. Mark Harmon, Harry Tynewitz with you, the beat till 5:30. Chris Bowden, welcome to WGN Radio. A very, very delayed welcome from this show. We apologize. And great.
There's no need for apology.
Well, it's great to have
and
you.
And I was Ice Cream Man. I just came up from Evanston, shaved, and I was Ice Cream Man earlier today.
And you are fitting into the Blackhawk family. You're wearing some of the free Blackhawk swag.
Oh, no, this isn't free. See, this.
What?
The story behind this is this.
It's a very good looking
top. This top that I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Used to have the logo of a previous employer, of the previous employer.
Oh.
So, and they don't even go by those three letters anymore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people are still slow to pick up with that. And instead, I thought we'd just throw a patch on over the old patch. Credit to my wife for doing that. And what
say,
a great job that she
you.
Did.
Yeah,
yes.
And it
does look pretty authentic, too. And pretty soon we'll be looking for 2019 Winter Classic swag.
Yeah,
too.
Big news today. Hawks yeah. Bruins from Notre Dame.
Yes, and the one of the alums, Stan Bowman, will be happy about that. I'm sure that's been. And we're going to have Stan on the pregame show coming up at 5:30. And I see his alma mater is now tied with Navy right now. So hopefully the nerves will be calmed by then. But we'll have Stan on the pregame show talking about that and a little bit about the start so far.
So let's talk about that start. Should Blackhawk fans be worried? I mean, people are talking about, like, these are now playoff games because, you know, you're sitting outside the playoffs right now. I mean, in your mind, is it, hey, it's early in the season, they're fine, or you can be a little nervous?
Well, it's a combination of both. And Brent Seabrook, when we talked to him the other day, you know, and he is the, you know, quote-unquote voice of that locker room in terms of, you know, not being so much a public voice, but the one that everyone tries to rally around or the one who gets everybody fired up and talks to the players. He admitted that all of a sudden here, it's not even Thanksgiving yet, and there is a sense of urgency that they have to take. They're basically a 500 team right now, and now it's about finding some consistency. They flashed here and there, good game a couple weeks ago against Minnesota, and now it's a matter of stringing some games together. But with the way the rest of the Western Conference teams, and especially the Central Division teams, have been playing so far, they can't get too far behind here. Yeah, I think it's inevitable. A hot streak is going to come. You can't think it's not with the way this team's resume has shown in the past that eventually, you know, it'll be a good month, it'll be a good 3 weeks, and, you know, you would have to think some of the others are going to come back to the pack. But just about everybody else in the division right now has been banking those points, and the Blackhawks have had a couple of tough losses, which, you know, has prevented them from getting up as high as they want to.
A lot of people are saying, oh, man, you know, they look old, and the Jalmerson trade is killing them and stuff like that. You know, my shot glass is always half full. I'd like to focus on the positive.
Is that enough? Do you really get a buzz off of that or no?
In the old days, no. But Corey Crawford has been spectacular. I know Sunday night he got pulled against the Devils, but there's one guy in hockey, Bobrovsky, that has more games where he's allowed one goal or less. He's got 8. But Corey Crawford's had 7 games already, 7 games where he's only given up one goal or less. So I'm very happy with what I'm seeing from number 50 between the pipes.
And they've needed that, too, because the defense is a work in progress. You know, it was even a little bumpy last year with Hjalmarsson in the lineup as they tried to find out, you know, discover guys on the back end. Van Riemsdyk was starting to come along, but, you know, due to the salary cap constraints that they've had to make these moves, and, you know, it's a process. They're still trying to get used to each other and reach a certain level. And, you know, Troy and I have been saying the same thing all along amidst all the panic and, you know, the tweets and stuff like that through this first 6 weeks of the season. It is a process with some of these young guys they're trying to incorporate into the lineup, from the Haydens and the Hartman from last year, now into his sophomore year, and the DeBrinkets, along with some of the younger defensemen. they have to find ways to grow their game and incorporate themselves without at the same time trying not to fall too far behind in the standing. So, you know, look at – you've talked about old. I was just looking up today. You know, Pittsburgh, Sidney Crosby's 30. Evgeny Malkin's 31. Chris Letang is 30. About the same age, other than Duncan Keith, who I believe is 33 right now. Taves and Kane are right there in the same age group. It's about finding guys around those stars to make it happen. And the Pittsburgh Penguins were getting killed a couple of years ago for not being able to, you know, make deep Stanley Cup runs or win more Stanley Cups while the Blackhawks were getting all the praise. And now Taves and Kane are the same, pretty much the same age as those core guys in Pittsburgh who lead the way. Now it's about finding enough other guys around them to fill in the roster.
Before you go pregame at 5:30, I want to get like a young Chris Bowden's first Blackhawk memory. I know this is a huge honor to be the Blackhawks pre and post, all that. So, like, what was a young Bowden like when he was rooting for his Hawks?
I'm trying to remember, it was 73, 74, second balcony, about what, $4 for a ticket, second balcony, if then.
Greatest stadium ever.
Dad took me there, got beer poured on me about midway through the first period. And I think it was Gary Smith in net for the Hawks.
Oh, yeah.
He ended up beating Vancouver. He would later become Vancouver's goalie. But Gary Smith in the net for the Hawks, and I believe it was a 2-1 win back in the day. Loved going over there. And you come home smelling like beer when you're a teenager.
Such a good smell. Like you want.
No, it's not.
You wanted the nasty beer. You wanted the urine. You wanted all of it.
No. I've tried explaining the old clocks that were upstairs.
Yes.
Because you couldn't. You know, depending on where you sat up in the balcony, you know, you couldn't see the big scoreboard.
Orange clocks too. They were like orangish red, weren't they?
Yeah. It was like a giant Timex watch. Yes.
Well, these kids don't know anything about what it was like in the old days.
These meddling kids.
Right.
Have a great show, Chris White.
Thanks.
Great to have you aboard the whole thing.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
All right. Quick timeout. Adam Ho talking Bears after 5, 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
5:10. Hope you're having a great Saturday. That you weren't having to stand out in the rain for 4 hours and get rained and sleeted and snowed on. But it was all worth it if you were on the sideline at Ryan Field and if you're going to be covering the Bears tomorrow. And 10 minutes from now, we're going to have a major issue with roommates and men and living together. But right now it is Adam Ho, your Bears beat reporter and Northwestern sideline superstar with us now on 720 WGN. Hello, Adam.
You know, I had a blast today.
Was it fun?
You know, shout out to Curdy and Mike on the equipment staff, Mike Valentine. They do a tremendous job, especially on a day like this. They are running around, making sure everyone's warm, making sure everyone's dry. And they hooked me up today. When the game was over and I got back upstairs and I took off all this wet stuff because it was just pouring the whole game, I was completely dry. And I was warm the whole time. And I had fun.
Were you
because
naked?
Cats won 39-0.
It was a great win for the Cats. When you took off all the stuff, when you say that, I mean, you were like just in your underwear at that point?
Yeah, I mean, we get pretty intimate in the radio booth.
Something wrong with that. I appreciate that.
Carm's seen it.
My favorite guy on the sidelines outside of you, Adam Hoag, is the assistant, or maybe he's the head, I'm not exactly sure, strength coach, Alex Spanos.
Yeah.
Whose arms are bigger than my legs and could rip most men in half.
Yep.
And he's the most excitable human being on the planet. Can we give a deep dive on Spanos and what makes him so good at his job? Because that guy's amazing.
Well, I the first word that comes to mind is insane. The guy's on the sideline in a soaking wet polo today. That's it.
Right.
Just a polo shirt, short sleeves. And you know what? He did that last year in Minnesota when it was in the 20s, but at least it wasn't pouring rain that day. Today he's soaking wet. I'm just like, come on, man. Yeah. His whole, you know, part of his job is strength and conditioning. Another part is a huge part. They, you know, the part of the hype team, and they blast the music, and they, you know, they bring the energy the whole game. The guy has more energy than anyone I've ever seen. And I guess, you know, wearing short sleeves and pouring rain and freezing weather. It gives you energy. I don't know. He jacked me up a little bit, I guess.
Will the Bears need worse weather to stop Matthew Stafford tomorrow?
Probably. You know, that would certainly help. I don't think it's supposed to rain, but it's supposed to be cold. And but I don't know. You know what they need? They just need to play better. They need to show up. The defense needs to play a lot better. This Lions offense can move the ball, but on the other side, their defense has been giving up points. I just don't know how much people trust this Bears offense right now, because it's, I mean, that seems to be the biggest issue with this team, even though the defense slipped up a little bit last week.
You know, the Bears front seven has been pretty good, and Kyle Fuller has been great, but last week Kyle Fuller had a bit of a rough game. I know that he's taken it personally, and I expect Kyle Fuller is going to, you know, play big tomorrow. But in Golden Tate and Marvin Jones, the Lions have a couple of receivers there that I don't think are appreciated outside of Detroit as much as they should be.
You know, the thing about Kyle Fuller is, and you're right, I mean, it's a decent wide receiver group, and Golden Tate can hurt you on any given play in a big way. So you got to be careful. But part of, and this happens really in any sport, when a guy isn't living up to expectation, and then all of a sudden he starts to play well, kind of out of nowhere, you sort of maybe start to fall in love with him too much, if that makes sense. And I think if you kind of zoom out and you really look at Kyle Fuller's season, he had two really, really good games. One was in Baltimore when the entire secondary played phenomenal. But other than those two really, really good games, I'm not saying Kyle Fuller has been bad. He hasn't been, but he's been okay. Not great. And then he was actually bad last week. That was a bad performance. So, you know, when everyone was talking about, all right, you got to extend this guy, you got to lock him up, you got to bring him back, I was saying during the bye week, let's let the whole season play out. And maybe it'll play out in a great way and he will get rewarded. But there's still seven games left here. So let's see what Kyle Fuller's full season looks like, especially after he didn't even play at all last season.
Adam Hogue, our Bears reporter with us here, 720 WGN, with you till 5:30. Blackhawks hockey coming up, Penguins and the Hawks. Chris Bowden has your pregame. John and Troy, of course, right after that. All right, I want to play a bit of sound from you. No one sends in more sound during the week than Adam Hogue does out at Hallis Hall. I went through Dontrell Inman, the new Bears wide receiver, and he was asked about you know, all the penalties that the Bears had on offense. So this was his little moment on John Fox and what they were working on this week.
Definitely. We worked on it all week. Coach Fox has been adamant about it. It feels like he has 20 refs out there just to make sure we're on the same page and we've got those mistakes corrected.
So they had 8 penalties last week and 17,000 more declined, and they don't know how to line up. And
no, but only 8. Only 8 goes in the record books.
Yeah, right.
According to John Fox, only 8.
Okay. Well, then they've been close. What do you believe that this is a new Foxy with his, like, attention to detail? I mean, what's going on here? How's this even possible? Like, the one thing you should be able to do is line up correctly. You're a professional football player.
Well, it's not an excuse, but to kind of explain why that happened last week, it's still not an excuse, because you're right. You should be able to line up. You should not be, you know, covering up your extra offensive lineman who's on the field in a play that you've practiced all week long. You can't line up properly. But part of the issue last week was, it's not that everyone was new. Dontrell Inman was new. Adam Shaheen's young. Daniel Brown's been out there, and Josh Bellamy's certainly been out there. But if you think about those four guys, haven't been playing a whole lot. I mean, they came out of the bye week with essentially a whole new group of tight ends and wide receivers, partly due to injury and then partly due to poor wide receiver play that they've had. So those were new guys that were out there, and it was really their fault that they were not lining up correctly. Two guys in motion. I think one, though, was on Trubisky. He didn't let his guys get set yet, and he snapped the ball too early or went through his cadence too soon. So there's just operational stuff like that that, you're right, can't happen. They got to figure that out, and I'm sure they did this week. It got better as the game went along, too, as they started to play a little bit more, which was a sign that, you know, there's just some new guys out there that unfortunately committed way too many mistakes in the first half last week.
All right, I got one more piece of sound here. I want to know what's going on between John Fox and Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune.
Did Deion exercise today?
I think he was tired today was what I heard. Well, it's okay. You're dealing with an illness, you know, in some way, shape, or form. There's laws against that, and there's laws about it. I think illness covers it. Okay. I mean, I'm not being evasive, but I kind of am. Yeah.
Why would you?
And for the right reason.
If he was that ill, why would you let him back in the building?
It's they're not worried about that part right now. I'm not the doctor here. All right. Yeah. I mean, I wish I could be, but I don't know. They won't let me do that. Practice. I'm getting in trouble. Yeah. Yeah. Apparently so.
What's going on out there? What's the HIPAA laws on a sickness? What's happening?
Yeah, and I double checked on that too. HIPAA does not apply to football coaches.
Very interesting. I'm not
now. Look. I don't know what Deion Sims has, and it's clearly something significant. Okay, whatever it is, it's more than he just has the flu. It's cost him, you know, really 3 weeks, and he hasn't played or practiced since the Saints game before the bye week. So whatever he's going on, I respect that privacy. I do not expect John Fox to give that up. But for him to cite legal reasons was kind of ridiculous. And that's, I mean, again, I don't have a problem with him not telling us what it is, but why can't you just say, you know, we're respecting the player's privacy and we're not going to tell you? That's simple. I think everyone could respect that answer. Instead, he's citing legal reasons that don't exist. It just kind of goes back to this constant battle between John Fox and being weirdly evasive about stuff instead of just being straightforward of like, hey, I'm not going to tell you that.
Well, it just, I mean, that was amazing. I'm not trying to be evasive, but I'm being evasive. I don't think anyone's ever said that in the history of the planet. That's unbelievable. I'm not trying to. I guess I've maybe heard people say, like, I'm not being evasive, but
I kind of am.
Okay, I'm sorry. You didn't say evasive twice, but I kind of am. I mean, what are you doing, dude? I get that he's not a great public speaker, but like, this is your position in life, man. You've been a head coach now in the NFL for forever. Come on, man. You got to know how to handle the media a little bit better than that.
Not that it matters. I don't think it's an issue of public speaking. I think it's just his way of dealing with the media. And and you know what? I think when this whole thing started 3 years ago, the fans were more like, okay, I don't like this, but I don't really care. The more and more reaction I get, I don't know about you guys, they're tired of this. Like, I think they're more than anything tired of not winning, of course. But when the diehards who pay attention to these press conferences every week and want answers, and this is what the head coach is putting out there, they're really frustrated by it. They don't like it.
Before we bid you adieu, any hoagies?
Well, I give you this one, and it's a good one. Kyle Long should be back, and we should talk about that because the offensive line last week with Hronas Grisou at center was a problem. Hronas Grisou was consistently getting pushed backward, looked like he was on skates at times, and I think that contributed to Mitch Trubisky rushing through some things, you know, not taking his time through his progressions, and he ended up taking a couple sacks there that were on him. You need him to be comfortable back there, and the entire offensive line needs to play much better. So getting Kyle Long back should be key, and we'll see about Tom Compton, who's his backup, but he was also out last week, which contributed to some of the issues, and Tom Compton, with an ankle injury, was limited on Friday. He's questionable, so hopefully, for the Bears' sake, the offensive line is getting healthier, and that should help. I still, though, Danny Trevathan on defense, that's a problem. He still has not practiced in a couple weeks with this mysterious calf injury that popped up out of nowhere because he did finish that game against New Orleans a couple weeks ago.
Adam, we will talk to you tomorrow, I think, because we got a very shortened postgame show, 3 to 4:15, Northwestern basketball at 4:30. So regardless, of course, we'll read you at WGNradio.com, and you're on with Justin Kaufman Monday nights. So have fun against the Lions tomorrow.
Let's go. Let's do it. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Let's do it. All right.
Thanks, Adam. Terrific.
Adam Ho covering the Chicago Bears. All right, final timeout. We've got something I think that's going to make your summer better. I think that's how we're looking at it. We'll do that coming back. 720 WGN. Couple more minutes for myself and Harry. There's baseball news coming. Changes that will make your summer better. Harry, let me hear it. What's going on?
A pitch clock. Pitchers will have 20 seconds to throw from the time that they get the ball. A pitch clock. And
just give me 1 second. I just want to give a little context on that. Right now, on average, it takes 24 seconds for a pitcher to throw a pitch. So if you think that's like nothing, if they actually enforce it, 4 seconds per pitch, if you figure about 250 pitches in a game, I mean, we're getting to cutting. It actually will make a difference.
Yes. Also, the strike zone will change. Now the top of the kneecap is where the bottom of the strike zone will be. And catchers will only get to visit. Yes?
No, go ahead. Catchers will only get to what?
Visit the mound once per pitcher.
Why is that?
Because of this guy.
And now Contreras will go out to talk.
I mean, doesn't he go out all the time to talk? What do you think about that rule change?
I actually think if you went to Wrigley Field right now, yeah, he's probably out there.
And now Contreras will go out to talk.
Right. I mean, there's another guy that goes out as much as he does, but especially in the playoffs, he goes out like four times to talk to each pitcher.
Per pitch.
And now Contreras will go out to talk.
Yeah, he's out there again. You know, I mean, it's not like he hasn't seen the guy in 4 years. I mean, they went over the game plan, you know, in the dugout. Hey, look who's coming up next inning. How are we going to pitch him?
And now Contreras will go out to talk.
Fastball down the middle.
And now Contreras will go out to talk.
Curveball in the dirt.
And now Contreras will go out to talk.
There's some hot dog wrappers blowing in the outfield.
And now Contreras will go out to talk.
So you're telling me only one time an inning for, well, one time per pitcher.
So if Lester starts the inning, he can visit Lester once, then they bring Rodon in, Rodon once.
And so, this is going to be, it's very, very, very hard for.
And now Contreras will go out to talk.
Sit your ass down and catch the ball. I love Wilson Contreras, but he's out there too much. And the reason why they're moving the strike zone up above the knee is to try to get more balls in play. It's to take an advantage away from the pitcher. They want more action. They don't actually care about game time. They want action.
If Traxel were here, he'd say every rule change helps the hitter.
Yeah, well, Steve Traxel's not here. Love Steve Traxel. Go to number 46.
Great job by Dan Long.
Great job by Dan Long. Thanks for texting, calling. Thanks to Adam Hogue for jumping on. Thanks to Chris Bowden for stopping down. A little shortened show today. Hope you enjoyed it. Blackhawks hockey is next.